Excuse me here, David.
We are back in session in the conference committee here. Representative Winkler has a statement to make on behalf of himself and his House colleagues.
Mr. Chair, the House of Representatives is currently in session, as we have been all afternoon. And after the discussion that we've had regarding the most recent Senate offer, the House conferees have decided that it's a more productive use of time to be working on the House floor. And we believe that another Senate offer that is more serious in its desire to find common ground would be the logical next step for the conference committee.
Well, Representative Winkler, we should note that the call of the House has been lifted and that the House conferees have made a choice, apparently, to remain on the House floor. They are not required to remain on the House floor at this time. The Senate members are here and ready and willing to continue to review the Senate proposal, which we had not yet completed reviewing, let alone completed responding to your question when the House was called off for a vote, which apparently has been completed. So we are prepared to complete our review. We have made an offer to the House. We made this offer last Wednesday, April 9th, and did not hear any response whatsoever from the House until just today here in this meeting. I guess the record will show what it shows in terms of the House's willingness to continue to participate in these discussions at this time. I thought there were some good questions that were raised by members of the House in response to our proposal. I've already tried to get some answers to those questions, some of which might require some further discussion. But without having House members here to continue the discussion, it's very difficult to have any further conversation about this. It's my intent for the public record and for those who may be viewing this otherwise to at least complete our public description of the Senate's proposal to the House, and it will be our intent to adjourn after that. I will say we have made a proposal. We have made what we believe to be concessions on the Senate part. One thing that we have that the House does not have is a very specific recorded vote after 2 hours of discussion rejecting the key components of the House proposal. The Senate floor voted 53-9 to reject the House proposal. So the Senate is not in a position to make the kind of concessions that the House apparently is seeking. But we have made a proposal which we think is significant, and as far as I'm concerned, the ball is in the House's court. You can choose to respond to us with a response, or you can choose not to. If you choose not to, then the onus is left on the House for this conference committee not continuing its work. As Representative Winkler, you know, this conference, the Senate conferees, was in a meeting last Tuesday extensively preparing this proposal. You know it because there apparently had been a scheduling conflict, and you showed up with your assistant at the room where we were meeting. And we were all there. We were working hard. We spent several hours going carefully through every aspect of this proposal, and you have the results of our collective judgment as to proposed response to the last House proposal, and it was made within 2 days of having received it. So we think it's a very serious, well-thought-out, and thoroughly discussed proposal by the Senate, which includes concessions to the House position in a number of ways. And so if the House chooses not to engage further in deliberation with the Senate, I guess that's your choice. But the ball is now in the House's court. Talk about negotiating against oneself, I don't see how the Senate is planning to revise its offer without having any response, formal response of a proposal from the House. Senator Scheid?
Mr. Chairman, if I might ask Representative Winkler, I'm glad at least that you came back to tell us that. I did not listen to House hearings, and frankly, I don't recall a whole lot of the debate. I was really involved in something kind of aside from this at the time the debate was going on in the Senate. I think it was Senator Dibble's motion to adopt the House approach, kind of. I mean, there were a couple pieces that were significant. The caps were certainly a big part of that argument. But could you – it will help me in trying to find how we're going to get out of this and how we're going to, you know, emerge with something, because I think both bodies want to do that, and the governor's office surely wants us to do that as well. What the rationale for going above the cap, how you think that will affect, I don't mean specific parties, but if I can say certain characteristics of, you know, survivors, who would, what kind of compensation we're thinking of here. I mean, is it in the non-economic side mostly for, you know, emotional distress, or is it, I don't think it's uncompensated medical expenses, because I think that that's, we don't know anybody at that point yet, are we, where you see that going, if you would, and then what in your deliberations, you talked about how the precedential aspect of it, if you would, for me. And I'm asking this in all sincerity because I want us to get to an end.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Winkler.
Senator Scheid, second part of your question about how we looked at this from a precedent standpoint, the House concept of the bill is that the state, with some regularity, makes appropriations available to deal with particular circumstances. And that this is a, I think our bill recognizes in its original form that there is some legal component to this, there's some tort component, but in many ways this resembles more of a natural disaster in the widespread nature of the injury, the sudden catastrophic nature of it. We think it's more like a big tornado coming through downtown than it is like a car accident.
Okay.
In that respect, recognizing that there are elements of both. So taking this unusual event and creating an extraordinary kind of standalone remedy that could be used in this case or in future cases, which happen to come in this regard or similarly. But this is a highly unusual case, and creating a single unusual or extraordinary kind of remedy is the best way to preserve the existing state tort liability cap system. It's the best way to preserve all the other elements of law that deal with situations for which that relate to more ordinary everyday events. As to the, therefore, for us, if we're creating an extraordinary remedy, the goal was simply to create a remedy that would be the most fair to the group of people involved and the most fiscally responsible for the state of Minnesota as well, which is, of course, why you have the waiver and why we have the desire to have a fixed aggregate amount of money, not anything ongoing, and that we could create that standalone structure that would be the best remedy for this unique situation. That has been the thinking behind the House bill. And the contrary to that for us has been doing nothing, which is that we don't change the aggregate cap, we don't change the single occurrence cap, we don't do any of those other things. That would be perfectly consistent with existing state law. Our thought is if we're taking the extraordinary step to deal with this unusual situation, to create an extraordinary remedy, we ought to make a remedy that best fits this current situation. That has been the thinking behind the House side of things. And in the debate, there was, to my knowledge, certainly not on the floor, and to my memory, not in any committee, an amendment to move this into the tort kind of context. I think House and Senate, I know it's a bicameral claim subcommittee, but the approach from House and Senate all along has kind of started from different points, and my assumption is that we can find a way to create sort of a hybrid that both works as a standalone remedy to this unusual situation, recognizes that something unusual may happen in the future, and does what it can to try to limit the impact on the tort liability system.
Okay.
That's, I guess, the best summary of where we're coming from I can put forward.
No, that's helpful. That's helpful, actually.
Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Winkler, and I, again, as Senator Scheid said, appreciate your coming back, and we won't try to keep you here too long if you've got to go back to the floor. But I was hoping, actually, that sometime today in the course of our discussion, and one of the things that we have talked about a little bit is, and also trying to understand the $40 million compensation amount and getting some idea of how that would, what kind of settlement would be generated from that. I know one of the things that we worked on in looking at, say, $25 million as the appropriate amount is we tried to say, well, you've got this category, and I think Senator Betzold kind of went through that a couple of sessions ago when we met. And so we were trying to say this is a rational distribution of settlement based on the assumptions that we made in the bill. And I think it would be helpful to us to see a similar kind of, well, here's a rational structure of settlement based on the premise of the House bill. I think it may help us get to particulars about what does this really do and how is it going to break out. And is there something like that that has been prepared or could be prepared for the committee?
Representative Winkler.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hahn, at our first meeting, I had attempted to bring forward the fact that if you take the Senate approach and the Senate definitions through the memorandum created and the kind of assumptions made by Mr. Mossman, and you take – and if you just, on, you know, for example, take away the cap at $400,000, you get somewhere in the mid-$40 million range, $40 to $50 million, so that the House bill – actually, that number is – I mean, it's obviously a round number, but the range that that number is in is consistent with the Senate assumptions if you remove the cap. There are a huge number of assumptions built into either any kind of fiscal projection on this. And to, you know, fine-tune too closely at the kind of logical outcome based on those assumptions is probably not the most effective thing to do. And there could be a lot more discussion about offset compensation amounts, for example, that would significantly change it. Now, we could put together sort of a memo showing sort of under one likely scenario, what does the $40 million get us to as sort of a percentage of recovery?
And, Mr. Chairman and Senator and Representative Winkler, I appreciate that. And I think it would be helpful to me, at least, maybe the rest of our conferees as well. And part of it is to get at the, you know, the limit, the hard cap, that the $40 million that is projected as a hard cap is a hard cap only insofar as the subsequent legislature doesn't meet and say, well, we've heard the hearings, we've gotten the information, looks like we may need to put more money on the table to compensate victims. And we can't preclude that judgment of the legislatures or anything we do. And so it would be helpful to say, well, is it realistic if you don't have an individual limit to make a settlement that would be satisfactory with that amount of money, or is it likely to go into another appropriation, for example?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hahn, I thought we did talk about this as well, which is the timing of the distribution of money under the House approach helps make that more likely, because the information has to be gathered by October 1st as to total amount of claims. The special master panel then looks at how much total money that they have in the fund, and they have to make a decision based on all that information about how much they're going to pay out as a percentage. That has to be proposed, I think it is, by March 1st, and then there's a 45-day window to respond. Now, it's possible that in that time frame, the next legislature decides that it's, you know, woefully inadequate, but just the timing and the amount of kind of steps that go into making those offers by March 1st, I think it makes it less likely and gives us a little bit more certainty that there is some finality in that number. And granting what you say.
Representative Winkler, you'll note on page 2 of the Senate offer that we agreed with the House on that, and we have specifically exactly the process which you just described in our proposal. Senator Betzold, did you have your hand up?
Well, Mr. Chair, the House is going to have the gavel for the next meeting, and apparently if the House is waiting for another Senate proposal. You know, I can only speak for myself, obviously, not for the other conferees. I believe the two issues we knew coming into this conference committee were going to be whether one-time fund or permanent fund, or have the tort limits that are in statute or no tort limits. I think those were the major issues we had coming in here. On the tort limits, I voted for the Dibble Amendment. I think I'm the only one on the conference committee who voted for the Dibble Amendment. But the Senate took a very strong position. This wasn't a close vote. The majority leader strongly supported this. He argued for it vehemently, but it didn't pass. And there's no scenario under which the Senate can go back now to the body with anything but the tort limits. I don't know how the House expects us to do that. I voted for it, but I know what the sense of the Senate is, and I'm here because I have to represent what the sense of the Senate is as much as I can in working out a compromise. And as for permanent versus one time, we've discussed that, we've debated it. I don't see any reason to go over the same arguments over and over. I haven't been convinced. I want to do what's right for these victims. I don't care about trying to set up some perfect scenario for the future so that we can hold victims' hands and say, well, the legislature's already taken care of you. I don't care about that. And to the extent that this conference committee is being held up because we want to create some perfect thing for the future, I think is a shame. There's no way that I'm going to sign any conference committee report that doesn't have the tort limits that the Senate has voted for or that creates some sort of a perfect structure for the future when I don't think that's absolutely needed. I can't support it, so I don't know where we're going to go. That's me speaking. I don't know where the other conferees are.
All right. At this point, the Representative Winkler is still the only member of the House to have returned to this conference committee. It's my intent to continue, at least briefly, to review for the public the Senate's offer that's on the table. And then we will adjourn and await the House to call the next conference committee and give us a proposal or not. If they don't give us a proposal, I guess, and they have left us in a stalemate. Sure.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Betzel?
Your proposal is a public document now. I think it does speak for itself. You know, we don't have a quorum. We don't have any member of the House here. So I think I pretty much understand what your proposal is. But, you know, if you want to review it, I guess you can. But I don't know that there's much purpose to it at this point.
Senator Betzel, let me just call attention to two provisions then.
Sure.
I think are important to note without getting into too much detail, changes from our previous position. One is the House had originally made a proposal to cover rescuers or responders. We had not responded to that proposal. We were conducting some legal research to find out what might be an appropriate response there. We have in the Senate proposal now proposed to adopt the House position to add collapse response volunteers to qualifying for the compensation fund. It will be volunteers, sometimes called Good Samaritans, or in case law, rescue doctrine type responders who suffered a physical injury while aiding survivors. It would require some refinement, I think, in terms of fleshing the details out there. And that would probably add some cost to the bill. We haven't fleshed that out specifically. I'm not sure that we even know exactly how many people would be affected by this. But it was a House position, and we thought it a good one, and we proposed to adopt that. I don't know if that was in the original House bill or it was in a House proposal that was presented to the Senate in conference committee. I know it was in the March 31 House proposal under the definition of survivor. The second part that I wanted to note was that within the special master component, Representative Winkler had suggested to me informally that he thought it would be beneficial for the special masters, or at least a special master, to agree to a personal meeting with each survivor or claimant to the fund. We proposed to adopt that House proposal of a half an hour personal meeting by a special master with each of the potential 150 claimants. That would be a total of 75 hours. If we used what I think is a low hourly rate for experienced attorneys of $200 per hour for this, it would add a cost of probably $150,000 to the administrative component of this bill. But the Senate is proposing to adopt the House suggestion on that point as well. I don't know that there is anything else that needs any specific report right now. Anything further from the members of the Senate who are still present at the conference committee awaiting further discussion? Seeing nothing further, it's 10 minutes to 5. Once we adjourn the meeting, the gavel will transfer to the House, and we will await the next House position. Meeting is now adjourned.